Hello and welcome to Real World HR, the podcast which is putting the human back into HR. I'm Louise Kennedy, HR expert, chartered CIPD professional and founder of award-winning HR consultancy Oculus HR. In the Real World HR podcast, we focus on people and business, telling the stories that we've learned from and explain the processes which have supported the solutions. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Max Draper, GP, men's health advocate and expert in testosterone replacement therapy for men. Experienced testicular cancer, meningitis and having two babies across a span of 2.5 years left Max feeling exhausted and low. After embarking on a journey of recovery, Max found that testosterone replacement therapy was the most effective path. In the podcast, we unpack how important hormones are for our health and how important our health is for high performance and happiness at work. Max shares invaluable insights into men's health and well-being and joins the dots as to how all of this impacts upon the workplace. Are you ready to step into the real world of HR? So, thanks very much, Max, for coming along today. Really looking forward to our conversation and to understand more about what you do and the impact that you actually are making with people generally, but obviously then the longer term impact that that would make within the workplace. So I'm going to hand over to you to kind of give us a little bit of an overview of who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah, so thank you very much for having me. So nowadays, I would call myself a TRT doctor and men's health doctor. My background was, for about 10 years now, I've been a practicing doctor, most of that time as a GP. And then through my own sort of, like you mentioned, my own health issues, I developed a knowledge and understanding of the importance of testosterone in men's health. And what was quite eye-opening for me was the fact that even as a GP, you know, working day-to-day, my knowledge in this area was so lacking, and it wasn't just that I was a standout case. So many doctors don't understand this area very well. So a lot of guys are missing potentially life-changing treatment.
Right, okay. Mm. So you'd worked in a GP, you think you were a partner at the time, were you? You've
been
a
partner
for quite a few years.
Partner for about 6 years of that.
Right, okay.
Know? Yeah.
So, and so that in itself's brought about, I would imagine, challenges. We talk about GPs, we talk about doctor surgeries. It's obviously brought about challenges as being a partner. So that would have been probably quite a stressful environment anyway to work within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you kind of took the decision, so you went through your own personal circumstances. Was that kind of pre or post-COVID that your own health started impacting, or was it all around the same time?
It was, yeah. So I had testicular, so I'm 36 now. I had testicular cancer when I was 29. And what I would say is over a period of a few years after that, I developed sort of a cascade of symptoms. It was a very kind of gradual onset. And I think the worst of it came probably around just pre-pandemic,
right,
okay. I would say. You know, initially it was kind of diagnosed as burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'd had cancer, I had young kids, I was working hard, or seemingly people said I was working hard. I've never thought, you know, most GPs are fairly part-time, so it's hard work when you're in, but you do get your off days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was deemed as sort of burnout.
And did you just think that that was it? You know, when people are telling you that, and even from, I was just thinking, really probably touching on what you said there, from being a GP professional, anyway, you kind of, you have a wider understanding of the medical circumstances, don't you? So when people just said, well, it's probably burnout that you're going through, did you just kind of think, yeah, probably is, I've gone through what I've gone through?
Yes, because I think, so the symptoms were gradual, but then it was kind of like I hit a wall.
Right.
And that wall was hit within about a period of a week. Following hitting that wall, it involved sort of anxiety, low mood, poor sleep, but also a lot of physical symptoms as well.
Right.
And, you know, the problem, I suppose, with low testosterone, the diagnosis, is a lot of other things can look like low testosterone, and low testosterone can look like a lot of other things.
Right, okay.
So it's, you know, in hindsight, do I wish I'd known more and I would have diagnosed myself with low testosterone earlier? Absolutely. You know, if I could go back 4 or 5 years, I would have said, you know, look at your blood results. Actually, although they're in the normal range, they're not normal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's another big issue in medicine, is that the ranges for testosterone, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but the ranges for testosterone aren't really reliable because they just represent an average level.
Right.
So, you know, guys are being, you know, even if they are getting it checked, like in my circumstances, they're told that it's normal when perhaps it isn't.
Right, okay.
So For me, yeah, I went down the route of burnout thinking that was it. And it was about 2 years of burnout before,
right, okay,
you know, my level got of testosterone, for example, went into the sort of red area.
Right,
put in,
okay,
sort of speech marks, you,
okay,
know. But it was highly treatable before that. Now I know more.
Now you know more, yeah, about it.
So my return to health would have been, you know, expedited, or even I wouldn't have hit that wall had I known about TRT before.
Before that time.
Yeah. Which is why I love the work now.
Yeah.
Because I'm able to offer that to other men.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh,
stop you hitting that wall. You might never hit that wall fully, but low testosterone can cause mild to severe symptoms. So, mm-hmm, if you can catch it or at least understand it earlier, that's great.
So, several different points there. So, obviously, you started to suffer from anxiety and depression, mm-hmm, and obviously you were labelling that as burnout. Was it your GP that said, okay, we'll test you for testosterone, or were they just testing your bloods in general to kind of see if there was anything underlying? How did that part of the conversation, how did that happen really? Because,
yeah,
obviously I'm just thinking, you know, the average guy goes to the doctors and feels in that type of way that you've described. The potential is the GP wouldn't necessarily ask or say, we'll test your testosterone. Were they checking for other things initially?
Yeah, so it was actually through. So following the testicular cancer, I would have regular follow-up and blood work with my oncology specialist nurse,
right,
so my cancer nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned a few times, so early days after the surgery, obviously having lost one testicle, you are obviously at more risk of low testosterone because the majority of your testosterone, you know, 95% of it is made by your testicle. So if you,
yeah,
if you lose one,
then it's inevitably going to be reduced.
Yes, so few times in the sort of following couple of years, I commented on the fact that I was tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel like I had the energy or the ability to exercise as usual. So we did do a couple of testosterone levels in the lead up to,
right,
me getting really bad. And a couple of those, like I said before, getting really bad, now I know were treatably low.
Right. Okay.
So that's what I mean when I say about the understanding, even in the field of, you've had testicular cancer, obviously your testosterone is potentially at risk of being low.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, it wasn't appreciated that these blood results, although they're not coming back as red,
mm-hmm,
they are treatably low if you have symptoms.
Right.
So that's where my sort of, you know, in hindsight's a great thing. So now I know more about the area. I could have gone back and said, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, hey, look, you know, that level of testosterone being 12, although it's in the normal range, it's not actually normal because,
yeah,
you feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot to do with symptoms as well as blood results.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I suppose, well, we're obviously talking about you having cancer, but actually this is happening to, it could happen to any man, doesn't it? It doesn't have to be a route because you've had the testicular cancer. It doesn't have to be that route, does it? It just could be, anybody could experience the anxiety and depression that you've explained, mm-hmm, there, wouldn't it?
100%. I always stress that whenever I'm sort of talking about it, is that I don't think any of my patients have had testicular cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, out of the hundreds of men I've spoken to about it, they've all got, or most of them, vast majority, have two testicles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly not a prerequisite that you have to lose a testicle to suffer from low testosterone. There's so many different things that can contribute to the developing of declining testosterone levels that,
okay,
yeah, it doesn't even have to be a testicular issue that causes, mm-hmm, low testosterone. So it's certainly not one size fits all. A,
right,
lot of different things can lead to low testosterone.
Yeah. And what would be an example of a couple of those things? I'm just thinking people listening, they would think, well, you know, I maybe suffer from stress and anxiety, or, you know, depression, or, you know, and that might be something that's never been checked. Is there something that, not a checklist, so to speak, but is there something that people could think, oh, well, actually, yes, that's happened to me in the past, or that's happened,
mm-hmm,
or a couple of little examples,
yeah,
there, I suppose.
Yeah, so the system of making testosterone involves parts of your brain stimulating your testicles to do their job, which, mm-hmm, is make sperm and testosterone. So if you imagine the sort of more classic examples of causes of low testosterone, either involve an issue with your testicles at some point, that doesn't have to involve losing one, it can just be trauma, infection,
mm-hmm,
you know, surgery, local radiotherapy, for example. So anything that's damaged, potentially damaged your testicles, even viral illnesses can damage them.
Right, okay.
And then you look, well, what else is involved? Well, the brain parts are involved. So if you look at things like brain trauma, there's quite a rare benign form of a brain tumour that can affect your signals going to your testicles. So for example, veterans from the army, if they've been concussed or you know, being blown up and things like that in wars and things, they're prone to hormonal issues.
All right.
And that doesn't just involve testosterone, but the same part of the brain stimulates other hormones as well. So that part of the brain as well can be influenced by your metabolic health. Mm-hmm. So people who are more likely to have low testosterone tend to be, you know, suffering from other conditions like type 2 diabetes. Obesity is a big one. Mm-hmm. And certain medications can influence your hormones as well. So there's a hell of a lot of stuff there. I think how I would describe it is if you have some symptoms of potential low testosterone, it's not about do I have a cause that I'm aware of? It's more do you have symptoms, so get it checked.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah.
It's not always obvious that you have a black and white cause. We have a rough idea of what can kind of lead to it, which are barn door ones, you know, i.e. testicular trauma. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other stuff is, you know, it's just complicated hormonal interactions in the body. So yeah. It's not always simple.
Right, okay.
Aging as we get older as well, there's a natural decline in testosterone.
Right.
So, but that doesn't mean I don't see young guys as well, because I've got guys in their 20s and things like that with low testosterone.
And it's obviously, it's the blood work that comes back. So people go along, get the blood test taken, and it's the blood work that comes back that gives you the knowledge of whether it is that you know, the need to have some testosterone put in. Is that a true reflection of it?
Yeah, so it's kind of, I would describe it as a subjective evaluation. So that's based on symptoms. And then you kind of compare it to your blood work.
Right.
So the problem is with a lot of non-specialist, you know, testosterone checks, let's say, is that it doesn't just fall into, in my opinion at least, black and white, i.e. if your level is below this, then you have a testosterone problem. If it's 5% above that level, it's fine.
Right.
That's not really how it works because everybody's different. Everybody needs different levels of hormones to function appropriately or at their best. So it's very much a subjective evaluation as well as looking at the blood work.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of gathering all the facts together to be able to do that type of thing.
Yeah.
And obviously being in mainstream NHS GP surgery land world, is that being checked enough within that, in your opinion? Obviously, I know it's not kind of, you know, blanket for. Is that being checked enough within that? Because I know certainly from a woman's point of view and a few of my friends kind of, you know, were menopausal type age and testosterone isn't really administered to women. But does that happen for men or is that kind of not quite there yet with GP surgery as well?
Yeah, I would probably, having spent a long time in medicine, say that testosterone is probably the most misunderstood hormone there is.
Right, okay.
That's in the sense of the symptoms not being recognised by practitioners. Yeah, so they're not picking up that this could be a hormonal issue for men. And certainly, yeah, HRT, if you speak to people who sort of specialise in this, you know, testosterone for women should be at least considered because you lose that at the time of the menopause as well. But yeah, certainly men getting checked for testosterone is almost indefinitely underdone because they don't know what the symptoms can present like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not some sort of agenda again. You know, that's not some sort of conspiracy theory. It's just the fact that we don't get taught it.
Yeah.
So med school, there's, you know, I can't remember any teaching about testosterone. GP training I went through, I can't remember any teaching about testosterone, which is diabolical in hindsight because it's fundamental to our health. So the symptoms, it's very hard to look for something if you don't know what it presents like.
Yeah.
And also, the compounding problem of that is the fact that if you do, say, think, oh, this could be a testosterone problem, I would debate that they know what tests to run.
Right.
Because it's more complex than just running a total testosterone. So there's more to it than that. And then lastly, the evaluation of those blood results can be lacking because, like I said before, it's not a case that if it's outside the lab range, then that means it's abnormal. It can be abnormal inside the lab range.
Right, okay.
So it's a bit more...
So it's not just as simple as a GP doing a test on testosterone. It's kind of breaking it down and understanding the whole circumstances with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And bless them, they've got 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
My new
you've got 10 minutes slot, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Your new job, I bet you've got more time, have you?
Well, yeah, I mean, new patients often overrun an hour.
Yeah.
Even the reviews, you know, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got the luxury of time.
Yes.
Which, you know, you can't do with the demand that they've got on them.
Yeah, which is nice to be able to have because then, you know, you're treating the patient in the way that they need it to be able to resolve their health concerns at that point or certainly contribute towards helping their health concerns, isn't it? So I think when we've kind of had an earlier conversation, you said that in the US, this element of it is kind of pretty much exploded and it's such a big focus. Do you want to just, from your knowledge of kind of what you know about the US, do you want to just kind of give a bit of an overview of how it's impacted within the US or what it is that they're doing there, which differs to what we're doing in the UK?
Yeah, I think probably the primary driver is just perhaps more awareness.
Right.
You know, there's, like any medical treatment, in the US there's insurance-based treatments and then there's private, and the private area is maybe bigger. So,
yeah,
you know, there's financial incentives there. So, you know, kind of if you get someone on TRT, for example, that's a lifelong treatment.
Yeah.
In essence. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just, but the main driver is more awareness.
Yeah.
And it's become more of a normal conversation to be had. So the problem, I suppose, with testosterone is part of the issue of low testosterone is it causes social withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
It causes, or can cause, some embarrassing symptoms like erectile dysfunction, lack mm-hmm. of libido. So, you know, I suppose if it's easier to talk about it, then you find it more as well.
Yeah.
So if you're more open to having that conversation of thinking, you know, they're always talking about TRT in the United States, then, mm-hmm. you know, I've developed these symptoms, maybe I've got low testosterone. Whereas in the UK, you hardly ever hear it talked about. And yeah. that's the same across Europe as well, I think, yeah. from knowing other guys who practice in Europe.
Who do. And I think just to make that comparison, obviously, you know, to talk about the menopause, I think that is, to me, that's only been around, I don't know whether it's because I'm hitting that around age-wise, but it's only really been the last few years where that's been kind of a more on the agenda. People are talking about it, people are talking about it. And there's a lady that we know, Miss Menopause, and she goes into the workplace and teaches everybody about what the menopause is, teaches men and women, you know, about the impact that it can have in the workplace, but also for them at home, and kind of a real educational piece around the menopause. Now, I don't think that was happening. And certainly conversations I've had with my mum, I think she thinks that she never even went through it, you know, because yeah. it was not a conversation that was happening between a group of friends. So this is maybe, you know, 20, 30 years ago, they weren't having those conversations. Do you think it's probably a similar type of circumstance to what you're talking around with regard to the testosterone? Like the conversation isn't quite there as of yet.
Yeah, yeah. But I think what's interesting about the menopause is at least it highlights the significance of the sex hormones in yes. your health.
And, yeah.
You know, for example, a lot of symptoms of the menopause are mental health issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you can, you know, extrapolate that to say, well, how important is testosterone in a man's health?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the problem with the comparison, though, is that the women tend to have an age range where they go through the menopause, whereas yeah. A man's low testosterone can be at age 25, it can be at age 75. You know, like I said, it tends to decline as we get older, but that doesn't mean that it can't present when you're quite young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, certainly menopausal talks, you know, there's a lot of things on Instagram about the menopause and things like that, which is great because, you know, HRT can be life-changing.
Yeah.
And again, it's just having that understanding and awareness of it, really. Mm-hmm. Even at the end of the day, if you don't go on hormonal treatment, at least you know why things are happening.
Yeah.
You know, you realise that, for example, estrogen, testosterone have a role in our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
They have a role in our drive, our energy. All these sorts of things are related to our sex hormones. It's not just about sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's great that at least that conversation is being had. Even if it ends up people take the natural route, they don't yeah. go on hormonal replacement, at least they know why things are changing.
Yeah. And do you think, or are you hoping that that conversation transpires into the male's health element of it, the testosterone? You know, as I say, that to me has kind of evolved over the last 4 or 5 years. Do you think, or can you see that that same type of situation will happen with the testosterone? Or you'd like to think that that's what's going to happen?
I think so, because if you kind of look at, you know, history, it's almost that we do tend to follow the US just a little bit behind,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm. So many areas of things.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. So even on social media and things, obviously a lot of stuff that you consume is from the States.
Mm-hmm.
So guys will be seeing this information more. And they'll be seeing stories where, you know, testosterone replacement treatment changed people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it will filter through. Again, alongside with the United States doing it more often, you get YouTube channels created, you get all sorts of, you know, entertainment around the area of TRT.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a bigger deal, I would expect. I would be, and alongside that, the other issue that isn't really talked about, which is weird, is that national and international levels of testosterone are on the decline.
Right.
Alongside sperm counts.
Right, okay.
And there's various theories for that. Part of it is probably lifestyle. You know, people are less active, getting a bit more overweight, more diabetes in society. Those are all have a negative effect on our testosterone levels and our fertility. But there's probably environmental factors in that as well. So things that we're exposed to, you know, they bracket them as endocrine disrupting chemicals, but they're basically things like phthalates and things like that, you know, in stuff you wash with, you know, shampoos, everything, you know, things you wrap your food in. So it's kind of like, it's a double-edged sword in the idea that we're becoming more aware of it and it's becoming more of an issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a rising issue. Yeah, from what you're saying there, it's a rising issue across the board, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah. And I'm just thinking, obviously, you know, from a HR perspective, from an employer perspective, people expect people to turn up and just be at work, don't they? You know, kind of get yourself together, you turn up and present, and you present the way that you want to be seen for that day. And sometimes if people have got those underlying issues and concerns, whether they're, you know, anxiety, depression, stress, mental health concerns, and actually there's some type of root cause to it as well, that can have a massive impact upon the employee or the individual, but then also on the employer element of kind of how they perform on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? Do you think there's anything that, and this is probably completely off the mark, you might not have thought about it, do you think there's anything that companies can do to ensure that their men's mental health and well-being is looked after? Because obviously we do often talk about from a women's point of view, but is it something that you've thought about, or are you kind of just still...
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I suppose if you split it into how can people or workplaces look at maintaining healthy hormones, potentially indirectly by, you know, basically it's healthy living. So, you know, being active, looking after your sleep patterns, looking after your how you manage your own stress. But if you extrapolate that to the workplace, and it is kind of employers being aware of, well, how do we make our staff maintain good health? And I think, you know, that includes mental and physical health. And then you want to be saying, you know, do we have an opportunity where people can talk about it if there's an issue? Mm-hmm. And also, you know, for the employers as well, just be aware of low testosterone, because it can present in a variety of ways. So I think a healthy workplace is important for hormonal health, you know, mental health, physical health. So looking at all of this stuff, you know, I was listening to your podcast with Dr. Patel, where she was talking about just, you know, really useful insights for employers. I would just concur with a lot of that, you know, just keep encouraging activity, encouraging things like mindfulness, breath work, all of those things that help manage your stress, manage your diet, nutrition, avoiding processed food. I know I'm just rambling on, but these are all things that you can look at.
Because actually, if you're a business owner, it's obviously, you know, we work with a lot of small businesses. Actually, as a business owner, somebody came to us the other week and we just put some information together about kind of what benefits can we put in? You know, we need to stand out. What benefits can we put in? We kind of put, you know, a few different ideas together and put them through. But actually, to stand out and to be different as an employer, you can set yourself out as a brand or as a company by doing different things. We had one client who's introduced a counselling service on site. You know, that they've got somebody who comes in 3-4 times a week and they have counsellors, and any of their employees can go and see them. Now, that to me is kind of, I spoke to a company about a year ago and she said that would be kind of my dream element, to be able to have that on board, and it would be like a life coach type person who could do counselling and coaching. But that's a real forward thinking now, isn't it? You know, it shouldn't be, but it is forward thinking, and obviously it does come at a cost from an employer point of view. But actually, I think the payback they would get from the employee, that they're in the workplace and they're more settled and they are engaging with the employer better or on a different level to what they would have been before, because they're getting something different to what they would get somewhere else.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's a bit of a different angle of thinking, but ultimately impacts upon your teams, the performance of the teams, the engagement.
Yeah, well, it's that kind of that idea that if your staff are healthy and feeling good, then you're going to get better work. So it's kind of like it is overall a positive for your business. I would say that if you seriously wanted to look at ways of making the workplace better for your staff, in essence, is you can kind of take it back to basics and say, what are the issues within society because of modern day living? And what I would say is we're physical beings living in almost like a mentally stressful environment.
Yeah.
We're not active enough. Mm-hmm. We're not prioritizing things like sleep.
Yeah.
We're overly stimulated by computers, telephones, you know, our mobile phones. We're not getting quality relaxation. So for an employer, it's about looking at, you know, what areas there can you help with so that you keep your staff healthy and your business runs better. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I don't know if that includes, you know, 10-minute break every hour from your computer screens that people talk about, an hour at lunch going for a walk, encouraging healthy eating, or at least giving the option of healthy eating. You know, when I was a GP, it was kind of like the options were Greggs, and I'm not slagging Greggs off, but like, you know, yeah, it's kind of
the healthiest
like,
of choices.
Yes, yeah. So there's all sorts of things you can look at. And even if it is just giving your staff that knowledge, because ultimately it's most of this knowledge is free. Mm-hmm. It's just not a lot of people appreciate how significant it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're getting 5 hours sleep compared to eight, that not only has an effect on your hormones, but it has an effect on how well you function.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all sorts of just, they call it biohacking, basically, don't they? That's the art of biohacking. And it sounds weird, but it's basically just healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that education could be key.
Yeah. And I think the biohacking is becoming a big thing, isn't it? You know, I think when we talk about Instagram and places like that, there's a lot of people, influencers that are on there that are trying to influence people to take different actions and do different things. And none of it's to say that some's good, some's bad. Obviously, there's a mix of all sorts of advice that's being put out there as well.
Yeah, when you deal with testosterone, if you're in the sort of forum of TRT, a lot of it links in with biohacking. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it links into other things that people take to try and optimize their function day to day and live longer and, you know, live healthier. So TRT kind of has a role in the sort of longevity health span space, as in health span is this idea of living healthy at the time rather than just living longer, you live better.
Right, okay.
And there's various reasons that TRT can come into play, but mainly it's because low testosterone is not healthy for you. Mm-hmm. It's not just that it causes symptoms, it's not healthy for your long-term health.
Right.
So when you're dealing with TRT, you often get the biohacking side of it pushed upon you. You learn about multivitamins, you know, vitamin D, the role of magnesium. All of these things kind of filter in. So on my sort of learning journey about testosterone, you do end up getting taken down biohacking avenues.
Right, different side routes and things.
Yeah, and actually to get better, before I knew that the issue was testosterone, I did a lot of meditation. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of stress relaxation, you know, reducing stress work, tried to look at my exercise regime, tried to look at my diet, vitamins, herbs, all these things I tried before realizing it was low testosterone.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you've been very proactive at that point to be able to know that you didn't like the place where you were at, and you were, you tried many things to be able to, I suppose, in essence, get out of where you were, isn't it?
Yeah. And like a lot of guys with low testosterone, I was given an antidepressant as well, which it helped me sleep, better quality of sleep. But otherwise, the problem is when you have low testosterone, antidepressants aren't really the answer.
Yeah.
So it didn't really help the picture. But that's a story that I see all the time at work.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys have been given antidepressants because they're feeling low because they've got low testosterone.
And that becomes quite easy, doesn't it, you know, to be able to... I met with a young boy yesterday and he obviously didn't want to do medication, but you could see that I'd met with him a few weeks ago to start with, but you could see that he was, you know, suffering, you know, he really was suffering. You come across different people in different situations. We do a lot of attendance review meetings with people. And then we saw him yesterday and you could tell he was a bit brighter, but his whole idea was, I don't want to do medication. Now, there's not, you know, it's a bit of a mix, I would imagine, of the number of people who... Because people just believe what a doctor says, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, kind of they'll say, well, I think you just need some antidepressants. Okay, I'll take the antidepressants. It's not always exploring, or those antidepressants aren't working. There you go, there's try some other ones. It's a bit of a...
Yes, yeah.
You know, you do...
open a shop, basically, at the end of the day.
And people buy into it, though, don't because that's what the doctor's told them to do.
Yeah, it is tough. And that's why I don't have a go at GPs in the sense of testosterone, because... we're not taught it, and and they don't really have the time.
Yeah, you say, 10-minute slot is not enough to be able to analyse the situation, is it?
Yeah, I'd just like to have that more awareness out there of how it can present. You know, it doesn't have to present with all of the symptoms of low testosterone by any means. But you know, if you're seeing a guy and they're reporting some things that might check testosterone, do it and know what to check at the same time as well, because it's not like it's untreatable. It's not like it's, you know, you find it out and it's like, well, there's no options to help here anyway.
Yeah.
You know, TRT is remarkably effective when you look at other medical treatments.
Yeah.
And it's very safe as well. There's still this sort of myth that TRT is somehow dangerous, which when you look at it on the basics of biology, what you're doing is you're taking a deficient hormone and improving the levels. So, so it's not very well understood. So that's all I want to just hammer home is this, you know, a lot of my work outside of seeing patients, is just trying to spread the word.
Yeah. And when you just mentioned, I was probably backtracking to a little bit of what you said there, you talked about obviously it's very beneficial when you have it for longevity and for a better life, kind of that longevity of life. Do people opt to take it, or is it always because they've got a deficiency of it?
It really depends on where you live.
Okay.
So when I was talking about sort of how I work, I think you'd be hard pressed to say, you know, your level of testosterone is good in your blood, but, you know, here's some TRT.
Yeah.
I don't think that would kind of be appropriate. In America, in a lot of the longevity clinics, you know, because they have these sort of subsectors of medicine where they focus on living longer and things, then they're probably a bit more keen to put people on testosterone because of those benefits, maybe if their levels aren't that low, uh-huh. You know?
Yeah.
So it really comes down to kind of, for me, it's symptoms versus blood result and kind of just being aware that TRT is safe, it's effective, and certainly low testosterone is not healthy. So it's that kind of balance. Where do you draw the line for offering TRT?
Mm-hmm.
And probably different doctors in this area have a different opinion on where that line might sit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, certainly in longevity clinics, like I said, they are using TRT as part of it. Mm-hmm. There's loads of different things they do, you know, peptides, all these sorts of things.
Yeah,
you know, melatonin at high doses. There's loads of different interesting stuff they do. But yeah, from a TRT perspective, when you work in the private sector, you've just got a bit more ability to look at it on an individual basis.
Yeah.
A bit more nuanced approach. And the other thing I would always add to TRT is the idea that, like any medical treatment, you've got to, you know, ideally back it up with good lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because that's where you see the best results.
Mm-hmm.
That's so the same with everything.
Yeah, like the healthy living, kind of what you're eating, as you say, kind of the exercise that you're involved with.
Yeah.
And there still is a part around the mental health element, you know. I think if you feel good about yourself, and then you kind of your brain is kind of on track as well, isn't it? You become the best version of you, I think, is how
you can
get to.
Yeah, so the company I work for is Alphagenics, and what we often will have there is like a 28-day challenge.
All right, okay.
And that will involve, you know, doing some sort of nutritional beneficial change each mm-hmm. day.
Yeah.
So it might be the same one. So maybe you're doing paleo diet for a month and trying to stick by that.
Uh-huh.
Number two would be something for your mental health. Mm-hmm. So that might be that you meditate daily. It might be that you practice gratitude. And then next one would be some sort of activity. So, you know, hit your steps or go to the gym or something like that. And there's always, you know, extra ones in each month, and we'll do a new challenge the next month. Or, you know, we'll just change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it essentially is that kind of idea that if you want to live and feel the best you can, it's not just about taking a medicine.
Yeah.
You know, it's about looking at yourself holistically and looking at maximizing your, you know, diet, everything like that. Not being overly stressful about it, because I think sometimes people can go a bit OTT.
Yeah.
And, uh-huh. You know, it's like, if I don't do this today, I'm going to feel rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of not stressing about your stress is what I say.
That's right, isn't it? Uh-huh. Not stressing about things that haven't happened, isn't it?
Yeah. But accepting that really, you know, life and health, I should say, is not something that you can sit back and expect.
Yeah.
You've got to have healthy habits to have good health.
To be able to. I think that's such a great idea. So to have that kind of 28-day challenge, really, isn't it? Because if people can, I just think people can focus for short periods of time, can't they? You know, like, you know, in work we do like bite-sized training for like an hour because we know that people can focus for an hour. But as you say, 28 days, if they're doing something to make a difference, whether it's, you know, they're going to do their step count every day mm-hmm. for 28 days or they're going to do a particular diet, then the focus can be on that period of time, can't they? Because then they know they're going to introduce. And I would imagine 28 days is around about that habit-forming date, isn't it?
Yeah.
Give or take.
I mean, and this is why, you know, talking about sort of the low testosterone patients that we start on TRT, a lot of them already have good, healthy habits, which is why I begrudge the idea that, you know, you see online and things, that it's blokes who have bad lifestyles, they need TRT. It's just not true.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the guys are already gym goers. They're mm-hmm. already nutritionally educated. They're already, you know, having basically healthy lives. It's just they have low testosterone. So when you put them on TRT, it's like they fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the 28-day challenge, I mean, we've done challenges before where it was just too hard. It was like, you know, two exercises a day for 45 minutes twice a day. It was like, we've got kids. Like, I can't.
You can't put everything in.
Yeah. I can't do me weights in the morning and me jogging in the evening every day. It's a bit much,
as
really.
The kids are running around and everything else that you're doing. Yeah. It doesn't quite flow as easy, does it?
Yeah.
So you've just mentioned then around the people that come to you generally have healthy living, healthy lifestyles there already. So without kind of categorising people, do you think people who are doing that and being kind of active around their health, and they obviously understand that there's something missing, they're then looking into things which is coming to the, it's bringing them to the testosterone replacement. Do you think that's where it's at the moment, as opposed to kind of general Joe Bloggs, who's maybe just not feeling great but doesn't really look after his health side of things and doesn't really realise the testosterone replacement's there? Do you think you've...
100%.
Yeah, do you think you're kind of... the people that are coming to you at the moment are, they're aware of the health and they know there's something missing.
Yes.
And they want to discuss their own well-being.
There's definitely a degree of self-selecting. So right. A lot of my patients are sort of educated in this area of, you know, biohacking or how to live a healthy life. Mm-hmm. And it may be that they don't feel great, so they start to look into it.
Yeah.
You know, it might just be that. But it may well be, they're well-versed in this area and they notice a deterioration. They're already doing all the right stuff, so they start looking, well, could this be testosterone? So there is definitely a self-selection bit to it. Not always, you know, not always. Which is why you've kind of got to get the word out there so that, A, the patient is more knowledgeable that it might be a testosterone issue, but also the doctor knows as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise people are just poking around in the dark.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. So I saw a lot of people who, when I was a GP, who had had, you know, a diagnosis of long COVID, or, you know, they'd been told that their fatigue was unexplained, or, you know, their anxiety was the reason behind everything. You know, they had muscle aches, they had joint pains, they had poor sleep, and it was low testosterone. So
right.
It's just because, I know I keep coming back to it, but it's just that awareness to get it checked.
Yeah.
Both sides of the table. Yeah.
And I think just even saying that, you know, when people are labelling that up as being, you know, long COVID, it's kind of, you know, it's probably easy to say that, isn't it, as opposed to looking into other options of what, because, again, you've explained different symptoms again, isn't it? You know, so there's lots of, you said at the beginning, there's lots of different symptoms that can really lead you to the fact that you've got low testosterone in your body there as well already, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote a list down because there's so many symptoms that can be low testosterone. But, you know, you can kind of split it into your mental state or how well your brain is working. Mm-hmm. You know, very much like the menopause. You know, women will describe things like, and it's the same with low testosterone, brain fog, anxiety, poor concentration, you know, bad memory. You know, so low testosterone looks like it could be a risk factor for dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So apathy, lack of motivation, you know, poor self-worth, lack of confidence. So in a man, the testosterone has psychological as well as physiological effects. It's how I would put it. A lot of mental stuff can be as a result, or you know, low testosterone can lead to a lot of mental health things, even personality changes potentially over time. You might become more fearful. You might become less driven. And then you look at the physical sides of it, and that is really around energy, you know, so exercise endurance, recovery from exercise is a big one, joint aches, muscle aches. Again, a lot of it can link in with how women describe the menopause.
Yeah.
I suppose the difference is, like we said, there's just not that time line that's more clear when it's the menopause.
Yeah, when it's the menopause,
But there's loads of different things. I mean, the problem is that testosterone is often linked to either bodybuilding, which, it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's involved in us building muscle and actually losing fat. So low testosterone can make it harder to gain muscle or keep muscle, and it can make you more prone to putting on fat, particularly around your organs, which is bad for you. And sex. So people think testosterone is bodybuilders and erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my guys with low testosterone don't have noticeable erectile problems. They just have a plethora or several other symptoms.
Yeah.
So, again, if you just think of it along those lines, you're missing cases.
Yeah, you're missing situations are coming.
Yeah. So that's kind of the frustration.
And as you said, I think it's that it is that awareness that is raised, which is obviously when, you know, I heard about what you were doing, I thought this is a perfect platform to raise that awareness, because, you know, we're talking to people on here which are business owners very often, or, you know, people who are working within the HR field already. So actually they've all got a number of male workers that are working within the businesses that are there, and actually there may be things that people can help out or point in the right direction or point them to listen to this podcast so they can know that they need to go and do something themselves. So it is raising that awareness across the board, isn't it?
I think it's such
an important area of it.
A lot of my guys are sort of business owners and things like that, and it's part of the reason they pick up on the low testosterone is they're just not functioning as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's almost like that brain clarity side of things. So, yeah, absolutely. It's just that awareness. That's key.
Key.
You know, you don't need to know the details, ins and outs of, you know, how testosterone is made, how is TRT done.
Yeah.
You know, what are the benefits? You just need to, both the doctor and the patient need to have an awareness that it might be low testosterone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that it could well be. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so just kind of reflecting upon the conversation that we've had there, I think to enable us to have some takeaways for the people that are listening there, I think it would be really useful. We've covered off quite a few symptoms as we've been talking. I think we've covered quite a few. Is there anything else that you think outstanding where you think actually there's something that in particular people should trigger, or kind of just accumulation of a lot of the things that have been said there already?
Yeah, a quick Google is always handy, where if you just type in symptoms of low testosterone and just do a little deeks there. There's something called the Adams score,
right. Which
is the androgen deficiency in an aging male. So it has a series of questions that basically kind of try to tick whether there could be a testosterone issue. So you can just fill it in online.
Okay.
Loads of websites have it.
Uh-huh.
That won't capture everything, obviously, because, you know, like I said, there's so many symptoms that potentially are linked to low testosterone. But yeah, it's just worthwhile having a deeks and seeing what comes up if you suspect there might be an issue.
Yeah.
A lot of what prompts men to get it checked now is erectile issues.
Right.
But like I said, that's going to miss a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm kind of sad that it's not a bad thing that you can buy Viagra at the chemist now.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that you're going to be missing cases of low T, low testosterone,
mm-hmm.
because that used to be one avenue to getting it checked.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are buying the blue pills, it might be worth considering getting a testosterone level check.
Yeah, it could well. Yeah, so rather than need that, it could be a case that it's the testosterone level that's in the impact.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so many other benefits to having healthy testosterone mm-hmm. levels.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's significant. And I think just, you know, if you're listening to this, just have a little look on Google, because there's like 30 symptoms that can be low testosterone related. There's obviously more common ones and then there's less common ones. For example, dry skin.
Yeah.
You know, that could mm-hmm. be low testosterone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot out there.
So obviously you've mentioned a couple of things that could be done if you think that, you know, you obviously can go on, you can do Adam's score, I think you said that it was. But then what is it that people should do then? If they think, actually, yes, I think I have got a few of these symptoms, what should be the next step
mm-hmm.
that they take?
Contact Alphagenics.
No, but that's genuine, yeah. Is it? Contact them.
It depends on what route you go. Obviously, if you went to see your GP, it would be important to make sure that they had an idea about what they're checking. Like I said, because a lot of the time you'll just have your total testosterone checked. So mm-hmm. you want to have a few more things than that done. You want to be able to calculate something called your free testosterone, because not to get too complicated, but you can have a reasonable total testosterone and all of it can be bound to a protein in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes that testosterone useless would be too simple to say, but you can still get symptoms of low T if it's all bound up.
Right.
So that's why you need to have an idea about how to work out your free testosterone, which mm-hmm. you can mention to the doctor. So it involves things like checking something called your SHBG. That's mm-hmm. just a binding protein, basically. But obviously not just testosterone. You want to look at, you know, total testosterone, free testosterone. You want to look at the signals from the brain to the testicles to see where the issue might be, if there is an issue.
Yeah.
But you also want to check some other hormones. You want to check for anemia, because obviously other things can look like low testosterone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I do when we get the blood works done. It's kind of looking at a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously my focus is on testosterone, but you can have a thyroid issue that looks like low T.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and there's often a link there as well. So there's a lot more to it than just getting a total testosterone done, I suppose, what whole little ramble's about. It's just, you know, just
so
be aware of what
options,
to check.
Isn't there? So there's obviously coming and doing privately, like the company that you work for, then obviously trying with the GP, but knowing there's different options that's available out there.
Yeah.
So if somebody is identified with low testosterone, we haven't really touched on kind of what the actual treatment is. You know, is it, obviously we've said it's lifelong, but what does that look like for people?
Yeah, so when you get the result back, there can obviously be, fair to say, degrees of deficiency. So you can be maybe, let's say, put a number on it like 12,
mm-hmm.
or you can be at 6. And that might influence whether you literally, you know, decide to go on TRT.
Mm-hmm.
It would also be influenced by how bad are your symptoms and what's driving the low testosterone. So if you can look at it and say, look, my testosterone's not great,
mm-hmm.
but with these lifestyle changes, it might improve. you know, there's reasonable data to say if you're overweight, for example, and you lose weight, your testosterone can improve.
Right.
That obviously depends on what's causing it. Because if it's your testicles have failed, for example, losing weight won't have an influence on that.
Yeah, it won't make any difference, yeah.
So it depends on what's causing it. But if you're looking at the sort of TRT choice, what you're essentially doing is through some method of administration, you are taking a low level of testosterone. You're basically taking over the production of testosterone, because what will happen is your testicles will go to sleep because you'll start injecting or using a cream to improve your levels of testosterone.
Right.
So what happens basically is your brain recognizes you've got now lots of testosterone, so they don't need to signal your testicles to do anything.
Oh, right, okay.
And that's okay if you consider the fact that, okay, well, your testicles make testosterone. I'm now, let's say, injecting testosterone. I don't need them to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The issue comes from fertility.
Right.
So sadly, the system that involves signaling for testosterone also signals for sperm.
Right.
So when you go on TRT, most men will experience a decline in sperm counts.
Right, okay.
Fortunately, a lot of my guys don't care because they've had vasectomies or
they're older, they're not really into their 40s.
Yeah. But for young guys, that's when you need to really have a chat with someone who kind of knows what they're doing, because there are options. There are other injections that you can include, something like HCG that can help maintain some degree of testicular function. Or there are, you know, tablets that try and hyperstimulate your testicles to make more testosterone yourself. Perhaps they don't make you feel as good as testosterone does. But what I'm getting at is, if you're younger, particularly if you've not had a family, that conversation, if you're looking at TRT, needs to be had with someone who knows what they're talking about. Because that's significant.
So you don't lose the fertility element of it. Producing the sperm.
And you can, so basically, if I have a guy like that, I will literally go through all of the options, you know, in terms of, you know, freezing your sperm, checking your sperm now, because obviously if you've got low testosterone, you're more likely than the average guy to have a low sperm count. So all of the options in terms of the treatment options, you know, whether you can add something in down the line to stimulate your testicles to get going again. It's complicated, but you basically need to have that chat.
Need to be able to cover that. Okay, great. So obviously been really, really useful, all the information that you've given there. And I think there's loads of brilliant tips that you've given, and certainly listeners can watch out and kind of, you know, they build their own awareness of it as well. What would be your biggest piece of advice for a business owner or a manager that they can realistically implement to enhance workforce's health and well-being?
I think appreciating the link between physical and mental health. I think that's kind of been lost in the kind of drive for mental health awareness. We don't quite appreciate the fact that our physical health often drives our mood. So being aware of just encouraging people to be active, encouraging people to have an opportunity to discuss issues, but, you know, get healthy advice for living well, living long and healthy. So that includes all sorts of things we mentioned, you know, exercise, sleep, stress management, all sorts of things. I think just having that conversation can be helpful. Having, you know, even like seminars on it with your staff would be useful. And then at the end, I would just say being aware of low testosterone, you know, and how it can affect your guys.
Definitely. It's all relevant. And where can listeners find more about you and what it is that you're doing?
So I work for a company called Alpha. I used to call it Alphagenics. It's actually pronounced Alphagenics, apparently. I've been doing that wrong for about 9 months, so that's great.
Probably worthwhile getting the company name right.
So it's alphagenics.co.uk. So that's our website. It has details about how to contact the team, you know, get tested if you want to get tested, all sorts of things. And I'm on Instagram at max_your_t. So that's my Instagram account. My wife actually does most of that because I'm very IT illiterate. But that's where you'll find me.
Yeah, but you're putting information on there, kind of updates and...
Yeah, so
you'll be biohacking before we know.
I'm going to live forever, me. Actually, part of the... we have this team group for the Alphagenics lot, and the co-founder is all obsessed with living for a long time. He's like, I'm going to live for 120 and be as fit and well as I am. And I was like, man, that's like 84 years. I can't be bothered with that. Like, are you kidding
me? That seems like a long time away.
Exactly. Yeah, I was like, you know, genuinely.
I need to rest by that time.
What I said to him was genuinely, because of how rough I felt when I was ill with low testosterone, now it's kind of like just gratitude for every day, man. I've got a great life. So,
And it's the appreciation of what you've got, isn't it? And the
gratitude.
Yeah. 100%. That's good. Yeah. So thank you for listening to the Real World HR podcast, and thank you so much to Max for joining us today and sharing his knowledge. Head to the show notes to connect with him and find out more about the topics that we've covered. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes, and please do leave us a review and a rating. Real World HR, putting the human back into HR.